scriptures before I could read them. I found them to be true, and that's why I believe them. With all of my heart, my soul, and my strength, with every song I sing,
I choose to be a Christian. I will follow Christ, carry the cross.
As this world grows darker, my lamp will be burning, kindled with love for the one who is worthy. He gave his all, so I will give mine. I'll lay my life on the
never.
Sometimes this world brings trouble I find so hard to bear. I know I could not make it without Jesus being there. It's so encouraging to know, however deep we're in despair, that Jesus never fails. So what can I do to prove to you? Tell me, how can you deny? No untold facts, no mysteries, it's all so cut and dry. And on the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify that Jesus never fails.
Jesus never
chapter from John chapter number 11, the Bible says in John chapter number 10 that I am the good shepherd. Yep. Listen, that song's nothing but biblical. Some things I've been struggling with that I'm going to share with you tonight, and I'm going to try my best to get through it. John chapter number 11, the Lord started studying for to preach tonight, and I was begging God for what He wanted me to say, and this is what He wanted to give me, He wanted me to share with you tonight. If you found your place in John chapter number 11, I would ask you if you stand to your feet for the reverence of God's Word. Listen, as Pastor Brian says, I'm going to say the same thing. You don't stand because of us. We're worth nothing, but we stand on the Holy Word of God. Amen. But the Bible says in John chapter number 11, of course, this is the story of Lazarus, the Lord raising Lazarus from the dead. We know this story well. If you've been in the church for any length of time, you know this story. You've heard it. If you haven't heard the story, you've at least heard the name Lazarus sooner or later in your Christian walk. But I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've allowed us to gather in your house tonight. Lord, we thank you for the good crowd on a Sunday night who've come just to get fed from the Word of God. Lord, I thank you that we live in a free country where we can come and freely worship you boldly tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for the choir that just sang all these songs of praise to you. Lord, I ask you to help me get my nerves out of the way. Help me tonight get through the message that you've helped me so much with. Lord, I ask you to get my nerves out of the way. Speak through me as your personal microphone. And Lord, help hearts tonight, save souls. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I could read the whole chapter, but for sake of time, I'm going to give you little bits and pieces as we go. But as we see here, like I said a minute ago, this is a familiar passage of Scripture that we've all heard sooner or later in our lives, of the story where Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, a great miracle of God. We see that there's a lot of distress in this passage of Scripture. We go from the chapter number 10, as I just said. Jesus said in verse number 7 of John chapter number 10, He said, "I am the door." We see that is one of the I am statements. I am that door. And he says just a few verses later, he says it again in verse number 9, I am the door. And he also says down in verse number 11 that I am the good shepherd. He says down in verse number 14 of chapter number 10 that he is the good shepherd. The Lord repeated those comments twice each because he wanted us to get it a little extra. But listen, that's a very joyous passage of Scripture to my heart when we read John chapter number 10. I've preached out of that. Brother Brian has preached out of that. I remember Dwayne Moore has preached out of that in this pulpit before. But it goes from a joyous, talks about how his sheep knows his voice, and he knows his sheep, and he layeth down his life for the sheep. In John chapter number 10. But we go from this great passage of Scripture where we see that Jesus tells the Jews that he will lay down his life for his sheep. He knoweth each of his sheep by name is what John chapter number 10 says. But then we go into John chapter number 11 and we see a very depressing the first part of John chapter number 11. We see the loss of a broken family and a loss of a brother. And Jesus, we see Mary and Martha did not really care too much that Jesus waited and took his time to come raise their brother from the dead. And we also see not only that this is a story where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but if you look towards the latter part of John chapter number 11, we see this is Caiaphas. They got in council to talk about putting Jesus to death. Now that's not a very encouraging passage of the Bible, now is it? Now, I've got some things, and I remember, like I just said a moment ago, Pastor Brian preached a sermon from the unknowns, from the well-knowns, from this just a month or so ago. I talked about that witness that Lazarus was once Jesus raised him from the dead. We see that everyone heard of what the things had happened in the latter part of chapter number 12. And we see that Martha was the one who worked for Jesus. And we saw that one once Jesus raised him from the dead in chapter number 12, they were all gathered around that table, and Martha was the one who served Jesus. We also see that Mary was that one who worshiped Jesus. But I might preach something a little bit differently for you tonight that the Lord has really helped me with, and I want you to really think, and I'm going to try to get it as done as quickly as possible. Just going to give you I'm going to kind of try to make you laugh. Most of you probably won't laugh. Just to kind of give you a measurement, my Sunday school lessons last between 30 and 45 minutes with a half a page of notes. I've got 4 full pages of notes tonight. I'm just picking. I'm going to try to get you out of here as soon as possible. If I have a title for tonight's message, it would be this thought, and if you're taking notes, it's time we stop living in chapter number 11 and start living in chapter number 12. It's time we stop living in John chapter number 11 and start living in John chapter number 12. One thing, like I said, I'm preaching to myself tonight. We look back over the last year that we just came out of. This is the first day of the year, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that Pastor Brian has given me to share the Word of God on the first day of the year. Listen, there's never a time when I would ever want to make someone feel like I was ungrateful for an opportunity to share the Word of God, because it's a privilege every time. But listen, when I look back at the past year that we just came through and the many different blessings that the Lord showed to my family and me personally through the year, and the family that the Lord has allowed me to have. And listen, I told somebody this yesterday that this church is all that I have. I left my family to come here with y'all. I left my job to come here with y'all. I left my ministry to come here with you. I left my family to come here with you. I left all my friends to come here with you. Listen, you are all I have, and I just want you to know that I'm thankful for each of you. I couldn't have made it through 2022 without you. I couldn't have gotten as far as I did and done as much as I was able to do without each of you, and I'm thankful and blessed to have all of you in my life. But the good memories that we have sometimes in our life gets us to a place where we have those mountaintop moments. But I'm telling you today, throughout 2022, there was some valley moments in my life. There was sickness in my life in 2022. Now, I don't want to act like I'm complaining, because I'm not. I'm thankful that I'm be able to stand here before you tonight. There were some discouraging times. There were some depressing times. There were some all different negative aspects of 2022. But I'm still here to tell you that Jesus has never failed me.
Amen.
But I see a couple things that I want to bring to your attention tonight. And I mentioned a little bit of this in Sunday school this morning just as a side thought. But like I said, it's time. Sometimes when we go into our new year, there may be things that may have happened to us during this last year that we may still be holding on to. You may have lost a loved one in 2022 and you're still holding on to the bitterness of that in 2023. I want you to look here in chapter number 11 of John at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany in the town where Mary and her sister Martha..." It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Jesus to go get him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now we know later on in this chapter of the Bible that even to a place that Lazarus ended up dying. We see in chapter number 14, in verse number 14, that Jesus said unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Now, when I believe, and I told Pastor Brian this the other day, I believe that when the Bible says Lazarus is dead, I believe Lazarus was graveyard dead. I was preaching something the other day to our college and career class on the trip, and you look at the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. The Bible says that when the walls of Jericho fell, they fell flat. You know how, like when the Twin Towers fell, there was a mound full of rubble when it was done. I don't believe that's how it happened at Jericho. The Bible says that the walls fell flat. I believe there was not even a mound. I believe they fell flat. That's how we need to interpret the Word of God. We need to take it literally, grammatically, historically, contextually. Whatever the Bible says, we need to take it how it says. And so today, the Bible says, the words of Jesus in my Bible are read, but the words that Jesus spoke in my Bible directly are read. All the words in the Bible are from Jesus. But the Bible says that Jesus said that Lazarus is dead. But I want to focus, I don't want to focus on his death too much tonight. I don't want to focus on his sickness tonight. I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to move on to his sisters here in just a little bit, in just a little while, and give you some things that I believe, like I said, I'm preaching to myself, that will help us in 2023. The Lord hit me between the eyes, I guess it was Saturday morning, that there were some things in my life that I was holding on to that the Lord said, "You're about to cross over into a new year carrying this stuff with you." Now, we see here that this doesn't say this in our Bibles, and I like to imagine things. You know, we need to imagine this in our minds sometimes, the Bible, think about the way stuff happened and something that certain things. You know, Lazarus, it says that Lazarus was sick, and they sent for Jesus to get him. Jesus abode where he was 2 days. Lazarus died, and Jesus came 4 days. After Lazarus, he had been dead 4 days, as the Bible says. Now, I believe if Lazarus would have had a long, drawn-out sickness, something like cancer or something of that nature that had been an ongoing thing for a long period of time, don't you think that Jesus, they would have sent for Jesus a little bit sooner than they did? This may not exactly how this happened. I'm just like to imagine how it may have happened when you look at the sickness of Lazarus. You know, if it would have been something that was a long drawn out sickness, maybe they would have came to Jesus sooner and gave him more time to get there. But I believe it was very possible that the sickness that this man named Lazarus has was something that came out of nowhere. From day one to day four, he died. Now, I don't know this for sure. There's some things in our Bible, preacher, that we can preach dogmatically because the Bible is very clear on some things. But I'll tell you right now, let's say this sickness that old Lazarus had was something that came out of nowhere and came upon him suddenly, and it went from he was okay one day and 4 days later he was dead. Now, I can imagine this, that he got sick and was in the bed, laying there. He was still responsive. He was still in his right mind. He was just slowly declining, or quickly declining, would I rather say. And they sent forth to Jesus to come help Lazarus before he had died. Now, I can only imagine it said that Jesus was where he was for 2 days before Jesus moved at all, right? I can only imagine this is that I'm getting somewhere with this, so hang in there with me. Like I said, this is just something that I imagine might have happened. Like I said, I personally believe that if it would have been a long, drawn-out sickness, they may have went to Jesus a little bit sooner than they did, or they would have had a lot more time than they did. That's just me. But you know, I think about it. Let's say that Lazarus was laying there on the dead, and he knew that they sent for Jesus, because the Bible says in verse number 5 of chapter number 11, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This was a family that Jesus loved. The Bible also says when they sent the message, then verse number 3, that therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So we know that Jesus had loved this family. He knew this family. And no doubt Lazarus and Mary and Martha had built a relationship with Jesus. And it got to a point where Lazarus was sick. There are no doubt, like I said, I can't be dogmatic on this, but this is what I imagine how it may have went. That Lazarus, they sent forth that message. And Lazarus was laying in the bed, and he may have heard his sisters over talking. Overheard his sisters talking. Jesus hasn't even started this wait yet. Jesus hasn't even started this wait yet. He got the message 2 days ago. Lazarus is sick, and Jesus supposedly loves him, and he hasn't even started coming this way. Sometimes in our life, we go through sickness, we go through pain, we go through tribulation, and because it ain't in our time, we get bitter and angry at God. No doubt if Lazarus would have possibly heard his sisters talking amongst each other saying, Jesus isn't even on his way yet. He doesn't care enough to hurry up and drop everything he's doing to heal Lazarus. And no doubt Lazarus may have heard that, and it may have gotten him to a point where he got bitter at God. Listen, I have a grandma. My grandmama's in heaven now. You know, my grandma, I'm going to tell you something, Pastor Brian. My grandma was a pastor's wife for many years. And she had a mouth on her. I mean a mouth. They got to a point sometimes where some of the women in church wouldn't even come up to her because she'd fuss at them from everything. Oh, you shouldn't wear that. That don't match. I mean, old Appalachian redneck woman who didn't care. But I'm going to tell you tonight that my grandma, she was the sweet. She would have gave the shirt off her back for you. But in her early 60s, my grandma started having some lower back pain. And you know what happened? She went to her doctor, and her doctor sent her to have a back surgery. That back surgery, she went in there, and I remember the day it happened. It was like 2012, something like that. And my grandma went in there for her first back surgery, came out a few days later. It screwed her up even more than she was before. The second doctor she went to sent her back and got another back surgery, and that second back surgery made her worse than the first back surgery. Less needless to say that by the end of my grandmama's life, she had 8 back surgeries. She got an infection in her bones, and it killed her. One thing that my grandma never was before that back pain is she never had a bad attitude. But I tell you right now that throughout those years and years of constant pain and suffering that she dealt with in that sickness, it got to a point where my grandmama got bitter at God. Listen, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you may be what pain you may be dealing with, what sickness you may be dealing with. But I'm telling you tonight, just like Lazarus may have overheard his sisters talking, that Jesus isn't even coming to you yet. You may have gotten hard and bitter on God and angry at God because he's allowing you to go through the sickness that you're going through. Like I said, we've got cancer, we've got heart attacks, we've got stroke, we've got diseases, we've got back pain. Listen, the one very common one, we got arthritis.
I could go on and on and on about the different sicknesses and pain that we may go through. In January of 2018, I was in a horrible car accident. I was headed home from church on a Wednesday night in my single cab Ford Ranger with no seatbelt or airbags. A drunk driver pulled out in front of me and I T-boned him going 60 miles an hour. Let's just say some bones were broken in my face. And if you ever wonder why I sound a little bit nasally, that's why. Because it crushed some of my nasal stuff. But listen, for the preceding days after that car accident, I dealt with that pain. I got to a point in my life where I got bitter and angry at God because He put me through certain situations that I didn't want to go through. Listen, I'm telling you tonight that this is just a situation that, like I said, the Bible doesn't come out and say, oh, Lazarus got bitter on God, and I can't say that he did. I'm just using this as an illustration. But I'm telling you tonight that there is a point, like I said, that if we allow it, when we go through our tribulations in our life, it can make us bitter at God. Listen, it's not just sickness. You may have lost your job. You may have totaled your car. You may have got a bad haircut. There's many different tribulations that we may have went through in this past year that we're continuing to hold on to in the new year, that we're not going to grow in the Lord at all until we get out of our lives because we're angry and bitter at a holy, a righteous God because we didn't like His timing. We see that Lazarus is sick. And sometimes our sickness and pain and tribulation will get us angry and bitter at God. I want you to look at verse number 20. Verse number 20, the Bible says, and this is a little bit down further in the passage of Scripture, Jesus is now on His way to meet them at the graveside of the old graveyard dead Lazarus. And you know, we see here in our passage of Scripture in verse number 20, it says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him, because Mary sat in, but Mary sat still in the house, then said Martha unto the Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. I want you to say this. You know, listen, see this in our scriptures tonight. We see that Lazarus was sick. Like I said, it may have been a sporadic thing that came out of nowhere and took him in 4 days. We don't know. But you know, I've seen throughout my life sickness and pain take the life out of a Christian and make them bitter and angry. But I want you to also see this in the life of Martha. That we see that sickness, pain, and tribulation in the life of Lazarus may have made him angry and bitter at God. But we see here in verse number 21, the Bible says, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Lazarus may have gotten bitter because of his sickness. You may have gotten bitter because of your sickness and your pain and your tribulation. You may be sitting under the sound of my voice tonight, angry at God because He's allowed you to go through certain situations that you don't want to go through, but it's doing nothing but holding you up from going further with God. But number two tonight, the one thing I see is not only that sometimes that sickness and pain and tribulation that we go through makes us angry and bitter at God, but we see here, number two, that Martha was focused on the could have been of life. On the could have been of life. You know, how many times have you ever gotten to a place where you thought, something you wanted was better than what God wanted? I have. Sometimes our human flesh and our human minds, we sometimes think that our ways is better than God's ways sometimes. And our wants and our desires are better than what God's wants and desires for our life is. And listen, right here, I understand that this is a literal story of a family that was broken apart by literal death. And Jesus came and raised Lazarus from the dead. But listen, we not only see that Lazarus was affected by sickness, which may have caused him to get bitter at God and angry at God, but we see that there was a woman here named Martha that took this sickness and took the tribulation in her life and was focused on the could have been in her life. You say, what do you mean by could have been? Sometimes we get caught up, like I said, in that could have been. In the mind of Jesus, in the mind of Martha, if Jesus would have just come when he got the message that Lazarus was sick, they would have not had to deal with the emotional pain of his death. In her mind, she was thinking, if Jesus would have just did it when we wanted him to do it, we wouldn't have to be dealing with this pain. We're living in a time where it seems like the, what word am I trying to think of? The feeling of obligation. Young people, I know, listen, don't chastise me for this, but people think they can get what they want for free nowadays. I've preached a lesson or a message on at the Winter Challenge on being committed. People today, which the day we're living in, they want the privileges of sexual intimacy, but without the commitment of marriage. They want God to bless their families, but their families are not in church. They want God to hear their prayers and carry them when they're weak, but yet they don't even care to open their Bibles to speak to Jesus. We're feeling in a that's the word I was thinking of, a generation of entitlement. You know, I was in hiring and firing and management business before I was with McNeely, and I remember there was a lot of times where there was people who came in and I interviewed who felt entitled to a certain amount of money. You know, when we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that Martha come running to Jesus, and she said, was focused on that, how this could have been if Jesus would have done it this way. Sometimes in that life, in our lives, we get to that place where we get sick, or we go through tribulation or trials or pain, and we get to a place where we get angry or bitter on God. But sometimes we think about how it could have been this way if Jesus would have done it our way, and we get hard because he didn't do it. You know, I've been in church since 9 months before I was born. I've been in camps nearly every year since the day I was born. You know, one of the hardest things for me to watch now as a leader is young people who go to a trip. And I've been there, and I'm not just talking about this past week. I'm talking about almost every trip that I believe I've ever been on. I believe that I've watched kids with hardened hearts go to trips and get help and come home clean. Yep. But I've also watched kids come to camp with hardened hearts and leave with hardened hearts. Sure. Tonight, I don't know what your situation may be. You may be stuck in a place in your life where you're worried about how things could have been if God would have just done it your way, or things who didn't have to be this way if God would have just done it a little bit quicker, or whatever the case may be, you may have gotten to a place where your heart is hard because God didn't do it our way. Listen, I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. I know that. I'm nothing. But I do know this. There's been times in my life where I've hardened up on God. And it don't do no good. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice and you ain't letting God speak to you, I preached out of Joshua chapter number 6 this past week, and I went through 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. And you know, Jesus, throughout those 6 chapters, maybe 20 or 30 times in the book of Joshua, it says, the Lord spake unto Joshua. The Lord spoke unto Joshua. The Lord spoke unto Joshua. And listen, when you have a hardened heart, you don't hear a word that Jesus is saying unto you. But you know, like we know how I know Joshua had a sensitive heart to the Holy Spirit of God, because every time when the Bible says the Lord spoke unto Joshua, Joshua heard and did exactly what the Holy Spirit of God told him to do. Listen, we are living in a time where it is too critical timing, where we cannot walk around with hardened hearts. We've got little ones watching us that we don't need to have hardened hearts. Listen, if you are a young adult with children and you're struggling because of your hardened heart about coming back to church, your faith will only be important to your children when it's important to you. Stop worrying about the could have beens. There ain't nothing we can do about it. God's ways are higher than our ways. You may be dealing with pain, and that is not excluded to the elderly crowd. I think of Sister Trish out, and listen, I don't think she would get offended or TR would get offended with me saying this. And Pastor Brian, I said this to you before church. The last 2 weeks ago when she sat there, she grabbed her right arm with her left arm and picked her arm up just so she could shake the preacher's hand. Listen, that is something called a committed faith to the Holy Ghost of God and to the house of God. And listen, that is how we should be. That is a sensitive heart. But yet you've got chapped lips and you've missed a month worth of church.
Amen.
We're living in a time where, listen, our kids, I don't have kids, but you might have kids. Your kids may have not made professions of faith. The ones that come on our vans, they're going to die and go to hell because of your hardened heart. They're going to die and go to hell because you're bitter and angry at God and don't care enough to tell them. Number three, Mary, just a little bit and a few verses later, we see that she says in verse number 32, she says almost the identical thing that Martha says. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Number one, we see that Lazarus may have gotten bitter and angry because of his sickness, pain, and tribulation. Sometimes we get angry and bitter because of our sickness, pain, and tribulation. Sometimes we see that Martha was focused on the could have been. Sometimes we harden our hearts because we don't like the answer God may have given us. But Mary, in our scripture today, she said literally the same thing that Martha said, but I'm going to tell you the difference. Martha was focused on the could have been. Mary was focused on the past she couldn't change. I don't know everybody's testimonies in here. I know a couple of you came from rough past. I know some of you in here came from drugs and alcohol and all running the streets, whatever the case may be. Did you know that I believe that what affected the Mary in our scripture is that she was focused on the past that she could not change, and it hindered her from God. We're living in a time where, like I said a moment ago, our kids are growing up. This is 2023. And listen, it should do nothing but thrill your heart to see this youth choir sing.
Amen.
It should do nothing to thrill your heart to see almost 200 youngins down at the beach.
Yep.
It should do nothing but thrill your heart to see this church house almost completely packed out on a Sunday night on the first day of the year.
Yep.
As Brother Brandon preached, we love this church. You should love this church. We got the best church around.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I have a past that I have regrets in. I've done things in my life that I regret. I've said things in my life that I regret. I've put things in my body that I regret. I've been places that I regret. But you see here that Mary said to Jesus, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lazarus was dead at this point. There wasn't nothing she could have done about it. But she got to a point where she was focused on the past that she could not change. We're living in a time where a lot of times people will get to a place where they dwell and dwell and dwell on the things that they used to do, and it's doing nothing but hindering them from moving forward. Listen, when we start focusing on your past that you cannot change, it'll do nothing but discourage and make you depressed. I said all that to say this. That was the introduction, and I'm done. There's many more things. You can get bitter, you can get discouraged and depressed with sickness. You can get hard because of your past. You can get hard because of sickness. These different things is not just completely bound to one of these things, but I'm saying, whatever the case may be, whatever you're going through, whether it's sickness or you're focusing on how God could have, your life could have been different if you would have done it this way, or how you're focusing on that past and it's doing nothing but holding you up from moving forward with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand, this is the point of the message. This is what I want you to get. If you look at chapter number 12, verse number 1, I want you to look. The Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served him, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, how do you go from them questioning God's authority in chapter number 11 to her them worshiping, serving, and being with Jesus in chapter number 12? If you look down at verse number 45 in chapter number 11, that was where the Bible says, loose him and let him go. That was the last mention of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha in chapter number 11 up until we get to chapter number 12. So what happened? When Jesus showed them the reason behind it, they understood. You know that car accident I told y'all about just a few minutes ago? I don't know why God put me through that other than to help people get through with the same thing that I got through. We may not like what God puts us through, but it's for a reason. You may not understand why God has taken your parent or your spouse or your children, or your children have gotten rebellious. You don't know what the Lord does sometimes. But listen, I'm telling you, there is a reason behind it. I believe that as soon as the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth, and he stepped out of that grave, and they had to cut them grave clothes off of Mary and Martha, and even Lazarus understood why Jesus did what he did. As I looked back and I was reminiscing on that car accident that I had, I got bitter and I almost quit on God through that time period of that discouraging time of not understanding why he would do that. I just left church from preaching. Why would God do this? I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going where I'm supposed to be going. I'm being around the people that I'm supposed to be around. Why would you do this to me? But yet he still did it. Sometimes, have y'all asked that question? It's time we realize that the Lord has his reasons for a reason. You may not understand, Brother Mike, I know you didn't want to go through that COVID. I know you didn't want to spend countless nights in the hospital. I told my class this morning that I've been putting off getting my wisdom teeth cut out because I don't want to do it. I don't. But you don't want to lose a parent. You don't want to have a constant thought of how things could have been. You don't want to have to constantly look back at your past and have to constantly have a thought of how you have so many regrets. It's not something that we necessarily want to, but it just happens sometimes because we're human. But we're living in a time where it is critical that we stay faithful to God. Amen. Because our children are watching, because the young people are watching, because the young adults are watching, because even the senior adults are watching. But if we look at chapter number 12, and I'm done, we find Lazarus with Jesus. We find Martha serving Jesus. We find Mary worshiping Jesus. Like I said, this is a very familiar, I guess, outline. That part of the outline is, you see that, like Pastor Brian preached a while back on how that witness that Lazarus had was able to have because of the miracle of Jesus. And listen, when you became born again, I'm going to be straight up honest with you. When you become born again and get saved, I believe that it is just as big of a miracle as Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Amen. Because you know that your Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You were just as dead in your sins as Lazarus was graveyard dead. Listen, we get to a place in our life where we get bitter and we get angry and we get discouraged and we get depressed and we get hard on God because of circumstances and our lives and how things could have been and how you think about your past and how your pain and your sickness and your tribulations come your way. And we just feel like we don't understand why we can't go no further. It's because we've got these things in our life. I'm going to give you these things. If you go to Lazarus tonight, and you say, like I said, I believe, I understand the reason why God did it. It was to teach them how to trust Him. The only thing, I don't know why God puts you through certain things other than to test you, not to test you, but to show you and teach you and make you want to trust Him more. But if I was to go to Lazarus tonight and say, hey, if you have any advice, when you were laying in that bed waiting on Jesus, and just before you died, what would you give me to help me not get bitter and angry at God? I believe this is what Lazarus would tell me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. If we go and talk to Mary, how she was discouraged and she was weeping before the feet of God because the loss of her brother, I believe. I said, Mary, what would you tell me to encourage? Encourage me as I go in my life with discouragement. This is what she says to me. For His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalms 30 verse 5. We also could go to Martha and ask her, what can you tell me to encourage me when my heart may get hard? The Bible, she says that, but the Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3. You could go on and say, it's one of them could say, tell us this, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is a common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. I can give you also this, but thou, O Lord, art full, or a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalms 86:15. The Bible also says, there are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:23. Listen, we go through things in our life, and I understand that Martha was looking back at the could have beens. And you may be here tonight and you're looking about how things could have been different if you would have done things, or God would have come, and it's got you hard because God didn't do something a certain way that you wanted Him to do it. But I've got to tell you tonight, no matter what the circumstance may be, God has a reason and God is faithful. Amen. I think of the story, and I've preached this before, and I'm finished. Look at the Apostle Paul. I love him. He's probably one of my favorite people in the Bible. A very familiar passage of Scripture. If you want to turn there, you can. Philippians 3:13 and 14. The Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what I believe here, what Paul was referencing to? I believe that he was referencing into, like I said just a minute ago, you know what was holding Mary up from getting in touch with God? It was, she was focused on her past, right? She was focused on past events that she couldn't change. Paul right here was said, forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, I want to give you four things point-wise that I want you to write down, and then we'll be done. Looking back, we need to thank Him for where you ain't there no more. Looking forward, we need to trust Him, because we can't see but so far. Looking around us in our daily walk, we need to serve Him. And looking up, we need to expect Him. Listen, I could go on and on and on about how we deal with trials and tribulation and all these things, but I think the Scripture can speak for itself when it says, "Great is thy faithfulness." And if you go to Lazarus and Mary and Martha when they're sitting at the table with Jesus, they're not focused on those bad thoughts anymore. They're happy that their brother is back. They're happy that there's no sickness no more. They're not worried about the could have been, because the could have been was ended up being better than it would have been before. Wherever your heart is tonight, whether you're hung up on the bitterness of your pain, or you're focused on how things could have been if you, the Lord would have just done it your way, because you haven't seen the big picture yet, or you're sitting here dwelling on your past and it's holding you up from going forward, I've got to tell you that God is faithful. The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge thy paths and acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. I don't know what 2023 holds for any of you. I don't know what 2023, I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. But I'm simply saying that if we continue holding on to the grudges we have with God, we're not going to go any further. If you keep holding on to that bitterness you have towards God, you ain't getting nothing from Him. If you keep holding on to that hardness that you're holding towards God because He didn't answer your prayer like you wanted it to, you're not going to get nowhere. But I've got to tell you this right now. If Martha and Mary and Lazarus kept just stayed back in their minds and in their hearts what happened in chapter number 12, they were never able to get help in chapter number 11. They were never able to get help in chapter number 12. Savannah, you come to the piano. I don't know what else to tell you tonight other than I was talking to the Lord the other day, and he flat out told me that you've got some stuff in your life that if you don't get out of your life, I will not be able to use you. We're living in a time where people are watching us. Young people are watching us. We've said it's been the theme for all morning, all afternoon, all today, all at the trip, that we're going into New Year's, and some things may happen that we don't like. I taught this morning on our Sunday school class that it is impossible to please God unless there's faith. You may be tired of your pain. You may be tired of the nightmare of your past. You may be hard on God because you think you could have done it a little bit better. But if you just stay faithful and trust Him, you'll see the bigger picture down the road. I told Pastor Brian this just yesterday, and this has happened to me, so I don't care if you know it or not. When I pulled into church the other day, I'm not going to tell you when, I'm not going to tell you what happened, but I pulled in the church the other day and I told Him I quit. Just trying to be a transparent with you tonight. Told Him I quit. I was giving Him the church keys back. Because I was holding on to that bitterness because of my pain. I was holding on to the could have been, how things could have been if it just would have went a certain way. Thinking back at how there were better times back there and how bad times are now, so it's got me discouraged, or vice versa. You may be looking back at your bad times and it's doing nothing but hindering you from getting any more good times. If you ever get to a point like I did, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's my fault. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus would quit focusing on what was happening to them, and they got focused on trusting Jesus, and they all found themselves around Jesus, worshiping, serving, and was with spending time with Jesus. Listen, I ain't quit, by the way. I'm still here. But I tell you right now, times will get hard. Period. If anybody ever told you Christianity was going to be easy, they lied through their teeth. I want to tell you tonight, whatever you're holding on to, God will never use you until it's out of your life. Never. Whether you're focusing on your past, listen, dwelling on past calamities will only hinder your future success. Stand all over the house. Pastor Brian's coming. Listen, I brought the message of the hour. This is the first day of the year. Don't go any further in this year without making sure you got everything you could possibly give to the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not some of your heart, all of your heart. You may be to a point where I was, where I said, hey, I'm done. So I'm just going to sing if you need to come to the altar for anything on your heart.
'Tis so sweet.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51:17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.